Amen. Amen. We need to sing it like we mean it. Amen. I mean, sometimes we just go through the motion and just be putting words together, but man, you got to get it in you, and you got to sing it like you mean it, because I'm going to tell you, you need to lean on them, and you need to lean on the Lord, because there's going to be some folks that ain't going to want to be bothered with you. Amen. I'm telling you, you know, when you call, that's why they invented call ID. That was somebody, amen, that was somebody who didn't want to be bothered. Amen. So y'all better realize that the only person you can lean on is the Lord. Amen. Everybody else just don't want to be bothered with you. Amen. So I thank God for this day, this opportunity to stand before you and speak his word. Amen. Amen. I don't take these opportunities lightly because it may be the last time. Amen. We don't know. I mean, we, as a child, you would always look at the older people as the ones who are leaving, but we are leaving at every age. Amen. So we don't know when it's going to be our time, but wouldn't it be a blessing to be praising God when your time is called? Amen. I want to thank our praise team. Amen. Thank our praise team for opening up this morning. Amen. And thank our musicians. I mean, we have a variety of musicians here. Amen. I don't take that lightly. I just thank God for our musicians. I mean, to be able to, every time you open up the church, there's a musician there. Amen. It's a blessing. Everyone don't have that opportunity. Amen. And the thing about it is, when the Spirit of God moves, think about this for a moment. When the Spirit of God moves and you have musicians that are in the house versus a CD, amen, you limit it to that CD. But when you have musicians in the house and the Spirit moves, that Spirit can move with them. Amen. Amen. If that CD starts skipping, you in trouble. Amen. If it don't want to act right, you in trouble. But praise be to God, you have live musicians here that when the Spirit gets inside of them, amen, it will flow. Amen. Amen. I always say Glenda plays like she walk. Amen. If you know her, you know what I'm talking about. But for those you don't know her, hard. Amen. You can hear Glenda coming through the house because she walks hard. Amen. I thank God for our musicians. Amen. I love to hear the sound of that organ. Amen. It just sounds good. Some people say you in church when you hear the organ. If that's what you want to say. Amen. Luke chapter 24. When you have it, can you say amen? Luke chapter 24, verse 44. I'm reading from the King James Version. Luke 24. Starting at verse 44. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen for the reading of God's word. Amen. You may be seated. I want you all to notice something. You may have paid attention to it, and you may not have paid attention to it, but I want to bring it to your attention right now. We get excited about the resurrection. Amen. We all prepare for the resurrection. I mean, we go out and buy suits, and we go out and do those things, and church is packed and what have you. And then if you notice, after the resurrection, you don't hear too much anymore. But only on what people refer to as Easter Sunday. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. But Resurrection Sunday, you need to understand, is a period of time, not just a day. Okay? 40 days, not just one. Amen. The resurrection time commemorates the 40 days Jesus walked this earth, okay, before his ascension back to heaven, okay? So understand that. It ain't just Resurrection Sunday, just on that day. We're talking about after fact. Amen. He was here. Acts chapter 1 in verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1 and 3 is the only place that tells us that the period of between the resurrection and the ascension was precisely 40 days. Now, the least celebrated or noted is the days after Jesus rose from the dead. Notice, he walked and he talked in places where his ministry had been. He was seen in his restored body by thousands. He healed many, he continued to preach, he continued to love, and then he ascended to heaven, taken up in the sky, which also was witnessed by others. Now, you don't hear too many people preach on that. We all just stop right there. And then you hear people preach about, okay, he rose from the dead, but you don't hear people talk about the 40 days. You don't hear much about the 40 days. We really should think more about these 40 days and the significance of the ascension of Jesus' birth and being according to the scriptures. His miracles had shown his power. His preaching had taught the world wisdom. His persecution and death had fulfilled prophecy that he conquered death. His conquered death was a miracle. But his ascension to heaven, his bodily rise to be with the Father at the throne, the mystery of rejoining the Godhead, more than any detail of these others, manifestation, it confirms the divinity of Jesus Christ. It confirms everything. So to me, the number 40 is associated with a new development in the history of God's mighty acts, especially of salvation. We talk about when we reference 40 days or when we hear 40, we think about the flood, the redemption from Egypt, Elijah and the prophets, and Jonah, and so on, and Jesus being tempted 40 days by Satan. Now, get this, understand this. When you see the number 40, pay attention because it usually means that God is about to do something significant in the world. Christ was tempted for 40 days at the beginning of his ministry, and it appeared in appeared to the disciples for 40 days at the end of his ministry. Understand that, okay? So before he began his ministry, he was tempted 40 days. Why? Something good was getting ready to happen for the people of God. And at the end of his ministry, he waited around 40 days. Why? Because something good is about to happen for the people of God. There's always a new development, a transition. 40 days means something. I remember this past Wednesday, Mitch mentioned 40 days being on the job. 40 days is a new development and transition for him because he's getting ready to retire. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to understand 40. 40-some years, I believe it was 42 to be exact, but understand 40. So why did Jesus stay around for 40 days after he came back from the grave instead of going immediately into heaven? Well, one, he wanted to prove that he was alive. Amen? I mean, one day you could have said, hey, did I really see? Or even for a couple of minutes or hour or so? No, he hung around 40 days to let you know I'm alive. Breathing, talking, eating, and to prepare his disciples for what's about to come. Amen? He's getting them ready. Hey, man, I'm telling y'all, this is about to come. This is what's getting ready to happen. And in John 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though were dead, yet shall be alive. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What Jesus was saying is, you believe in me, you shall never die. So he was letting them know that I'm alive and well. You believe in me, the same thing will happen to you. You shall live and not die. So the Roman authority had put Jesus to death. And his body had been taken down from the cross and sealed in the tomb. And when that happened, the disciples were filled with despair and fear, and many of them went into hiding. So they had believed Jesus was the promised Messiah, and now their hopes seemed to be shattered. They had forgotten his promise that he would return from the grave, and they felt they had no future. So Jesus knew all of this was going on, so he had to let them understand that you can still believe in me because here I am. All of these things I taught you, and you need to understand that it is manifesting itself right now at this very moment in your eyes. Y'all know how we miss a lot of things? Distractions. This is why the disciples missed a lot of things, even though the scripture recorded it, but they missed it. The reason why we missed it is because our mind is wandering. Our mind is going. Jesus said, he that dippeth in the cup with me is the one that's going to betray me. Well, they were so focused on, is it me? Is it you? But they missed who it was. Why? Because we are so distracted in our lives that we're not focused on what Jesus is really saying. So Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection. Their lives were changed. The greatest miracle in all of history just took place. Jesus Christ was alive. During the 40 days, he appeared to various groups of disciples, proving beyond doubt to them that he had been raised from the dead by the power of God. Over two decades later, you got the Apostle Paul said that he appeared to more than 500 of the brethren at the same time, and most of them were still alive. So Jesus stayed around 40 days on the earth was to teach his disciples and prepare them for the task of telling the world about Jesus Christ. Is your faith in the risen Christ, or are you seeking to share his message of the salvation with others? And so we come to the last days of Jesus Christ on the earth. For 33 years, he has made the earth his home. Now the time draws near to leave. We're past the cross. We're past the the suffering, the torture, the mocking, even beyond the resurrection. We're in that mysterious 40 days period. Christ is getting ready to leave soon, not to return until he see fit. No longer does he speak to the thousands, but now only a few. To them is entrusted the responsibility to take the message around the world, the gospel, the good news, the best news in history. The future, in other words, of the gospel is in their hands. It's up for them, it's up to them to carry the message of the Lord. Just like today, it is up to you to carry the message of the Lord. And keep this in mind, when you carry that message, be ready for Satan to attack you. Because I'm going to tell you like this, it ain't going to be easy. When you start speaking and teaching Jesus Christ, expect for an attack. Don't expect for anyone to say, oh, yeah, that's, yes, tell me more. It's not going to happen. When you share the good news of Jesus, be prepared to be persecuted. Don't get mad. You know these things. It said it's going to happen. Jesus was telling the disciples the same exact thing. When you hear these things, this is what's going to happen to you. He prophesied their death to them, told them what was going to happen to them. All I'm saying to you is get ready for the fight because it's coming. As soon as you share the gospel, look, listen to this. Man, you can talk about Santa Claus all day long. Ain't nobody going to get upset with you. You know what I'm saying? They ain't going to mess with you. But the minute you start talking about he ain't real and stuff, watch his followers. Amen? But I'm just saying, when you start talking about Jesus and you want to share what God has done to you, oh, here she go talking about that, or here he go talking about that Jesus stuff. I had a person to tell me one day, you need to get out of that fantasy world and come into this real world. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It was an attack on what I believed. And she was, and you know, those same people will circle back around and say, oh, pray for me. Oh, hold up. Pray for you. Okay, first of all, who am I praying for you? You know, they say Christians always want something free. Yeah, you always want Christians to pray for you too. Yeah, and check this out too. When something get ready to go down, you're going to go and find a Christian because you're going to try to come close to us because you know that it ain't going to happen as long as we are praying. That's why that devil ran up in that house when they put the blood on the doorpost. Y'all better read it. Understand what I'm saying. People go find Christians when they need something. Christ is talking about things are going to happen. Now, the future of the gospel is in their hands. Knowing all this, what does Jesus talk about? Well, he don't start talking about the weather. He don't start talking about the last gossip in Rome. He tells the disciples what they need to know to make it after he's gone. I mean, it's kind of like your parents when they give you some departing words. Or someone that a patriarch in the family. I remember my grandmother. I wasn't saved when I was coming up, but right when she was about to pass on, I began to turn my life over to Christ, and she imparted some words in me. As I didn't know it at the time, but when she was about to depart. So in other words, she was sharing the good news and telling me, she said, despite what anybody say about you, she said, you just keep living for Jesus. She said, because people are going to talk about you regardless, but she's saying, you put your trust in him. You do right. You live right. Forget about what everybody else is doing. You keep holding on. And then she also said, what's done in the dark will be brought to light. Man, I remember that so clearly. So what Jesus is saying to them, death is not the end of the story for those who know the Lord. That's not the end. You all are familiar with this. Now, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. What? Now we know death itself confronts us with many mysteries. Every single breath we take is a gift from God. What happens after we die? I can tell you this, scientists don't know it. They don't know. They have nothing useful to tell us. What I can tell you that they will say, they will tell you speculations. But then I would say this, then there's revelation. Paul says there are some things we can know with certainty. We live in this tent, which is our bodies. They wear out. They sag. They expand. They wrinkle. Joints get stiff. Arteries harden. Gravity pulls everything down. Amen? The heart slow down. The eyes grow dim. The teeth fall out. The back start aching. The arms grow weary, and our bones begin to break. Our muscles weaken. The body bulges in the wrong places. We brag about our strength, but a tiny microbe can kill us. Sooner or later, we grow old and our bodies begin to break down, and then eventually they stop working all together. I don't care how much vitamin C you take, it can't change that fact. At best, we can probably try to, I hear people slow down the age process, but we cannot delay it forever. As we age, we pay more attention to things like diet and exercising. When you get old, you start exercising. You know, exercise is good, and it's good nutrition for you. I mean, it's good if you're doing that to stay in shape. But I have a bit of news for you. It won't last forever. I'm not trying to discourage anybody that may have had some type of New Year's resolution and you're still working on that. But I'm just letting you know what you're doing is great. Keep doing it. Don't stop. But I'm letting you know, it's not going to help your body from dying or deteriorating. Understand that. Let me say this. You can eat all the low-carb ice cream you want. You can do it. Eat all the low-carb ice cream you want. And I'm telling you, your body will still fall apart at the end. The cells of your body are actually programmed to die. I'm not a medical person, but they're programmed to die. Before the sun goes down today, there's a lot of cells that's going to die, and I understand why we get sleepy. We just can't do it no more. I mean, when we sit down on that couch, man, I'm telling you, it's lights out. I'm looking at my eyelids, not what's on TV. And I heard stories about what my wife did to her brothers when they were growing up. And there's a little bit of kind of like, okay, I hope she don't do that with me. But I'm watching TV, and when I'm watching TV, you know, my eyes get heavy, and I can't fight off sometimes, you know, because I'm just tired. And she playing with my lips, and I'm not used to just messing with my lips. Let me sleep. I can't hang like she can hang. I mean, she's just wide awake. And, man, I sit down on that couch. I'm good for one movie. After that, she'll tell you half of a movie. But it doesn't matter. I'm open. I'm still good. But once there's a second movie, I'm done. I'll see you in the morning. I mean, let's watch it at 6 o'clock in the morning. I told her one time. She said, that's not even a good time to watch a movie. To me, it is. We will one day trade in this tent for a building. Think about the difference between a tent and a building. Tents are temporary. and flimsy, easily torn and replaced. A building is strong, built on a foundation, not meant to be moved. Not meant to be moved. You can't go out on the outside of this room. I don't care how strong you are, and move this building. That ain't gonna happen. But if you got a tent, you can move that. But a building that's on a good, strong foundation. See, this is why it's good for us as parents to give our children a good, solid foundation. So when they grow up, they have something to look back on and build off of. Because when you have a tent is like something that when the wind blow, it could be in your yard one day and it could be in your neighbor's yard the next day or further down the road. What I'm saying is that is unstable. But God always speaks about foundation. That means stable, anchored, unmovable. Someday we will give up our tent and replace it with a building made by God Himself. It will be disease-proof, heartache-proof, cancer-proof. All of that proof, nothing won't happen to it because it'll be proof. Y'all seen them products on TV that y'all be buying and it tells you this is leak proof, this is all kind of proof. We go in, we put our numbers and cards on it and we buy it. God said, I got something better than that. God is saying, what I have in store for you, and this is the reason why he walked around, let them know, hey, I still got my same personality. I'm still the same person you knew before I died. I'm walking around. I'm in a better body than what you've seen. You understand what I'm saying? He's letting them know that there is life after death, and death is not the end. The grave is not the end. I'm walking around talking to you. So that lets you know that there is power in my Father. One day we will trade in our broken down bodies for a new body. I remember growing up, I used this analogy that my parents used to buy Lincoln Continentals. Man, I was impressed with those cars. Loved them. And I noticed that when the car got old and started depreciating and things in the car didn't work as well as it used to work, wasn't good. But guess what? They took that car and they traded it in for a new one that was better, up to date, more improved. That's what God is saying. I got something better for you. Up to date, more improved. See, this is a sinful body. But God said, I got something better for you. A trade-in. Amen? So Paul says, we know lots of things we don't know about the future. But this much is certain. We don't have to live in tents forever. Someday our tent will be replaced with a building made by God. The ascension was significant. It was a significant moment in the disciples' personal transformation and the advancement of the gospel through the church. The ascension had a profound impact in the disciples' impact on the disciples. Up to the moment that Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples seemed to be puzzled, trying to figure things out, and they were in hiding. But the ascension, they worship him. They travel back to Jerusalem with great joy. They maintain their regular presence in the temple, worshiping God. At first, the disciples' reaction to Jesus' ascension may catch them off guard, but Jesus left them, and they were filled with joy. Jesus told them at the end of John that he would soon leave them, and then they were deeply disturbed. He encouraged them by teaching them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He kept them from the brink of utter despair by saying, you are not losing me, but I'm going to be with you in a different way. So I'm not necessarily leaving you. I'm leaving, but I'm still with you in a different way. See, right now, by me being in this body, I'm with you. But see, when I go away, I'm going to be in you. That's the difference. When Jesus was in the flesh, he was limited on where he could go.
Understand this. So by him saying, hey, I'm leaving, but I'm going to still be with you. In other words, I'm going to depart, but I'm coming back in a different way. And a different way that I'm coming back where I can be inside of you. I like that a lot. I like that a lot because if he's inside of me, then it lets me know he can be inside of you as well. And he can be inside of many people all at the same time. Why? Because he's in the spirit. That's why you see people, they tell you that I'm going to be with you in the spirit. How can we speak those things unless we heard those things? We've heard those things because Jesus spoke these things. And because he spoke these things, we're able to live these things. So I like it when he said, hey, hold on, don't hold on to me. I got somewhere to go. I got to depart to the Father. In order for me to depart, there's got to be something that's going to come, and I can't stay here at the same time. So when we get to this point where we see Jesus being taken up, see, we forget this. There's a reason why Jesus allowed them to see him ascending into heaven. Because as he was ascending into heaven, Jesus was letting them know that the same way you see me departing from you, and you can see me with your own eyes, you see me going up, that's the same way I'm going to return. In the same manner, I'm going to ascend just like you see me going up to the Father. And when I return, I'm going to come back the same way. So make no mistake about it. You will see me again. So understand this. Understand this. Jesus ascended into the heavens. This is commonly known as the ascension, which is celebrated after the 40 days. Usually they do it on a Thursday. So Jesus ascended. The second point, you need to understand this. Jesus will return the same way. He will come after his church. By visibly going up into the air, Jesus made it clear that he wasn't just disappearing. He was going to heaven, and there he would be at the Father's right hand to intercede for us as our internal high priest. So we have someone in heaven that has walked in human flesh that is speaking on our behalf and acting as our intercessor in heaven. In other words, it's like an arbitrator. It's like an attorney that is speaking for you before your court date. I mean, it's trying to get you to understand that he is going before you. And he's speaking on your behalf. So he's going to the Father and be on the right hand of the Father. How do I know he's on the right hand of the Father? Well, when Stephen was being stoned and Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus, what? On the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible is saying. And it said he was on the right hand of the Father. In other words, and I'm going to just say this. If you're on the right hand signifies power. Understand what I'm saying. It signifies power. So Jesus was on the power side. He was on the power side of God. Interceding for us and letting us know that we have a hookup. Do you understand what I'm saying? Y'all know y'all love hookups. Let somebody work at a retail store. Let somebody work at a place where you want to get something. If they on the inside working for you, come on now. You know. You know. I'm going to tell you, I went to a store and I was getting ready to pay, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't have to pay. Why? Because I had a hookup. And it was legitimate. Y'all need to understand that we are in a good position because we are children of God, born again, not just got our name on a roll, not just coming to church Sunday after Sunday. We have been born again. So in other words, we have a hookup. and your attorney fees are paid for. God is interceding on your behalf. I could just see God. I could just see Jesus saying, well, Lord, you know, God, okay, daddy, I went through that. I understand what they're going through. And so God was looking at the people, want to destroy us. Trust me, want to destroy us. The angels are ready, armed and dangerous, because they'll take us out. But see, here's the thing. Jesus is there on the right hand of power, watching his daddy's power. Because remember when I told you that when Satan stepped to the Lord, Jesus said, I saw lightning fall from heaven, so unless you know he got power. So what I'm trying to tell you, when we do something wrong, this is what the Lord do. He said, well, Lord, he said, daddy, come on, daddy. I want you to see it a different way. So God says, okay, well, let me grab my son. Oh, I can see clearly now. Oh, I see what you're talking about. I know what you're saying. But when he take it off and he don't see Jesus, he's not seeing you clearly. But when he grab his son and he put him on, yeah, I see you. He's saying, I see you through my son's eyes. Now I understand. Now I have mercy and grace for you. Now. Understand. On the right hand of power. God could have easily destroyed us. But Jesus said, I'm going back and I'm going to tell my daddy how it is. We serve an awesome God. Jesus interceding for us. When Jesus ascended and sat down, that accomplished a lot for us. It took him, can you imagine for a moment? Can you imagine? Jesus, and I mean, we have some, think about this. Do we ever really think about this? Or do we just read the scripture and just say, oh, Jesus went to heaven, and now he's back with the Father, and yeah, yada, 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 yada. Don't do that. That's nasty. You don't read that. You don't do it like that. Read it and understand it. Imagine if I send people ahead of me, and I tell you what, I mean, you tell me what's going on. So you already there. We already got somebody in there. Y'all ever, let me, I hate to use this analogy, but it's a real good one. But I remember how the law enforcers, when they want to get something information, they already have somebody on the inside relaying the information to them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And they have somebody on the inside that's relaying. We have somebody on the inside that's relaying information to us. Jesus telling us about heaven, telling us what it's going to be like. Because let me tell you, this here, out there, that ain't heaven. That's chaos. That's chaos. You don't want to live like that forever. Don't you want to, you know, be able to enjoy life? You're not saying that you can't enjoy it now, but man, being in heaven, not having to worry or concern yourself with much of anything, all you really have to do is worship and praise God. Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. Satan can do nothing about it. What Satan can do is tempt us to forget about Jesus as King. He uses thousands of tricks to do it. But listen to this. He uses thousands of tricks. Think about this for a moment. Let me use this point. Brother Moore has a neighbor. Good guy. Nice guy. Real nice guy. I met him. And the neighbor has a son. And there was some bad relationship that went on. Bad relationship between him and his son. But now, check this out. Listen to this. Brother Moore has met his son. talk to his son. I mean, just nice kid, man. I mean, real nice kid. I even met his son, talked to his son. Real nice kid. Now, there was some problems that happened between the father and the son and the mother. All of that. Think about, listen to what I'm saying to you. And I'm going to show you how the devil works. Now, with that being said, setting the picture up, this man has a son. Been his son, I don't know how, he's probably in his 20s now. Now, Brother Moore says to him, knowing that there is an issue with their relationship, but being nice, said, "Hey, how's your son doing?" And the guy says to him, "I have no son." And Brother Moore said, "Yes, you do. I met him." "I have no son." And Brother Moore said, "Man, come on now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Man, you have a son now." Come. And the man insisted on saying this. Now, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. That's the same thing Satan does. Even though you met the Lord, you know the Lord, God has done stuff for you, you've seen it with your own eyes, you felt the healing touch, the power of God, and all of a sudden, you're going to let Satan tell you that there is no God? Just as sure as Brother Moore has had fellowship with that son, talk to him, know him by his name, and the man says that he don't have a son, trying to get Brother Moore to doubt and believe, that is the trick of the enemy that he does with us. Even though you know what you know, he still tries to get you to doubt the very existence. Scientists will not debate this word for word. But they will take little bitty samples and try to debate that. But I guarantee you, they will not debate it word for word. Why? Because in the end, it's going to say a conclusion, amen. That puts the stamp on it. They ain't going to debate that. I'm going to tell you something. They already said that there is an empty tomb because he's not there. They're already telling you that he rose from the grave. They just ain't saying it. Y'all know how you have a conversation with somebody. You're saying the same thing, but you're just not saying it. They're telling you he's alive. He ain't in the tomb. But they want to tell you there is no Christ. Well, where is the body? Well, there ain't nobody there, but then he's got to be alive. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Listen to what I'm saying. Do not allow Satan to make you believe that Jesus is not real. Let me tell you, he's alive. Jesus being alive changes everything. It changes our conversations. It changes our conversation. Every time we come to church on Sunday, that's the resurrection. Every time somebody turns their life over to Christ, that is the resurrection. Because they've died in that old person, and then now that new person has risen to a new life. Each week, each time somebody turns their life over to Christ, that is the resurrection. You can't get away from the resurrection. You can't get away from Christ rising because it's all around you. You need to understand Jesus rose from the dead. And he's at the right hand of the Father. The resurrection is the power of Jesus Christ at work that makes you a Christian today. It is the only reason that we are able to be Christian. It is the power of the resurrection that gives us faith to call upon the name of Jesus. It is the power of the resurrection that has Satan under our feet. It is the power of the resurrection that gives you and I the discipline, power to draw others to the kingdom of God. It is the power of the resurrection that is just as powerful now as it was then. You see, what the resurrection has given you and I more than just faith. It's more than eternal life. Yet it is what I'm trying to say. I think we are overlooking some of the benefits of the Holy Spirit that it gives us, that we need to simply understand that life and death is in the power of your tongue. It's the same power that raised Jairus' daughter. It's the same power that called out demons. It's the same power that healed the lepers. It's the same power that would never lose its power. So you need to understand that the words that are coming out of your mouth has power to do what Jesus did. It's all according to your faith. It's all according to what you believe. Do you have faith? And the answer is yes, because we've been given a measurement. In other words, you got something to work with. Now, I can understand if you didn't have anything to work with, then I can sympathize with you a little bit. But you have something to work with. Regardless how big or small it is, you got something. And all I'm telling you is to cultivate what you got. So as I close, the Bible says that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit. Ghost has come upon you. Jesus was telling them, hey, I'm getting ready to leave, but I want you all to go somewhere, and I'm going to tell you, stay there, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to receive power. And you're going to have power that's going to make you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Because remember, people wanted to know why my daughter didn't do her Easter speech, or why that's because her daddy didn't want to do his when he was growing up. Let me tell you something. But as I got older, man, I got hold of that power. That power, I didn't like standing in front of people speaking and talking and saying all this stuff. I wanted to just sit back and just hear somebody else speak and talk. But man, once that Holy Ghost power got a hold of me, it said, you ain't sitting down. You're going to get up and speak God's word and say what needs to be said. See, when that power gets in you, it makes you bold. You don't care who you're talking to. You don't care what's coming out. As long as you're speaking God's word, God will take care of you. The person who needs to be concerned is the one that says stuff to you. Because the scripture says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. In other words, God is saying that's why they had to get an understanding before they threw Jonah overboard. Hold up. I know this much. We can't touch him. And if we do, something's going to happen to us. So in other words, we got to get it together. So what I'm saying to you is that we have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Some of us may say, well, how do we? You got to know how to tap into it. That same power that's out there on them lines, when you drive down, there's power out there. But if you don't know how to tap into it, you're going to get shot. You're going to hurt yourself. But if you know what you're doing, you know how to connect it properly and get it hooked up the way it's supposed to be hooked up. But there's power that's available to us. Now, how did the people at Amram get to know how to hook that power up? Because they didn't just get it. There was a process. What was the process, preacher? Well, it took some time to be with the Lord. It took some a long time to be with God. To get by yourself and let everybody else do what they're going to do. But you just get by yourself, no matter where you may be. Just get alone with God and start reading his word. Then all of a sudden you'll see the power start to come up off the page and start manifesting itself. and it starts to get inside of you. And once it starts getting inside of you, it starts doing a little work in you. Then when it starts doing the work inside of you, it starts making you feel good. Then all of a sudden, it'll make you do a holler, and ain't nobody even pitching you. Ain't nobody even touching you. Then it'll make you run, and ain't nobody chasing you. Then it'll make you shout. But it takes some getting along with God and spending some time with him and understand how he operates. Understand what it is that he's want. Understand what it is he's trying to do in your life. And understand that you can't fight it. But you got to go with him. And then once you understand how you go with him, then all of a sudden you see the power start manifesting itself into your life. Now all of a sudden you see it operating. You see that wherever you go, you see that the Lord is starting to open up doors for you. Why? Because as long as you stay in his word, God will make room for you. Then all of a sudden people want to know, hey, what's going on with you? You ain't the same like you used to be anymore. You starting to change. You starting to look funny. You starting to look different. You acting different. I see a different walk in you. That's because I'm spending some time with God. Of course I'm not going to walk the same. Of course I'm not going to look the same. I'm a changed person. Why? Because I've been born again. God is telling us that we have the same power that is at our fingertips. All you got to do is get in God's word. Get a close relationship with him. Forget about what somebody else saying. It ain't working right. It ain't doing right. Let me tell you something. I ain't mean no disrespect, but when you're in class, you always have somebody that ain't getting it. Amen? You got somebody in the class that ain't getting it. But I'm going to tell you, when you get it, then you can help somebody else get it, but you get it. Get what God is trying to give you. He said, if you speak. In other words, God gave us an example. When he spoke in the beginning, things that was not there was there. You need to stop speaking these negative things in your life. You are making stuff up here that wasn't there. But when you start speaking positive, stuff starts coming in a positive way. We wonder, why is all this happening to me? Because you're speaking it. If we are created in the image of Christ, in other words, God is saying the same thing I'm doing, you can do it. Watch what you say. Amen? Watch what you say. What you say has an effect on you. That's what's hurting you. It's what you're saying. Change your vocabulary. Change your words. Change your phrases. Say, I am healed. Not saying that, okay, fight it. Stop saying negative things. Say something positive. Amen.